Hello everyone, it's Nico here. Today I'm so excited to be here today because I'm the host. This podcast series has been commissioned by the Mental Health Foundation. The topic for our podcast today is, This is What Hope Looks Like. This campaign aims to bring hope to people seeking asylum and refugees. This podcast series is part of the Elevate project, which is funded by the Scottish Government. What does the Mental Health Foundation do? I am taking this from their website, www.mentalhealth.org.uk. The Mental Health Foundation works towards good mental health for all. As everyone knows, prevention is better than cure. Everything we do is focused on protecting people's mental health. Their vision is for a world with good mental health for all. With prevention at the in the heart of what they do, they aim to find and address the sources of mental health problems so that people and communities can strive. The topic is about what is hope for you? What does hope mean? So I'm here today with a wonderful guest here. Manessa, how was your day today?
My day started very well. I actually over-prepared myself. I was actually away a week ahead with a meeting that I will have next week instead of today. And I called the guy and I said, I will not having a class today or training today. He said, no, it's next week. I said, my goodness, I didn't know that. So I'm trying to be prepared.
Oh, that's good. So today the topic here is about, for Mental Health Foundation, and the topic is about WOP. For me, I think when I hear the word hope, for me, it does lots of, make me think a lot. For example, when I came to this country in the UK, my hope was a lot of things. Hope for better life, hope for this, hope for that. Hope never stopped, you know, for me.
No. You know, with Mental Health Foundation, I have what hope means for me is like they value me. I feel like because it's about Mental Health Foundation, they see the benefit in me, the skills that is there. And that's every one of us wants to be seen for who we are and what we have. And mental health is key.
I really like the idea of building up that strong relationship with everybody around you, especially when it comes to work as a team or in a project. You don't have to be a staff. You don't have to be a visitor. You don't have to be a volunteer, but everybody is treated with respect. That's really, really, really powerful. But my question is to you, what mechanism do you use when it comes to self-aware? And what do you hope? What do you hope on the outcome?
Mechanism is more about working, like adding value. Like here, I do volunteering a lot. I started when I came in this country. You don't know anything. It was like you are on another planet. And anyway, it's something totally new. It's I don't know, but it was a pleasant new. I was a little bit afraid, but because they don't have another language, it's just English and that's it. There's no one that you know that you can speak your language of Afrikaans or home language, anything. So I start volunteering, and I volunteered with very much big organizations. 2020 was a horrible year, COVID and so on. I volunteered throughout it, and I volunteered 2021 also. I volunteered throughout. I was afraid of being inside because it means that I'm doing more less than I'm capable of. So we respected the 2 meters that we are expected to be where I went for the volunteering. And we volunteered. When you come, the first person who comes stands his 2 meters. Then the next these 2 meters, and we continue working. Even the lunchtime when we sit, we respect the 2 meters that is mandated by the government. So we sit 2 meters from each other and have the lunch, because all of us are coming. So I believe in giving my time, because that is my mechanism. I need to share, I need to learn, I need to give. And my time was there as an asylum seeker. I have so much time. So why not giving my skills, my energy, and so on?
Oh, that's really, really nice to hear. Yeah, there's one word we never talk about yet. It's called integration. What integration means to you, and what people should be hoping for once they integrate, and what are the benefits? That's what I mean to say.
It's really a matter of be with the people. You came to Scotland. What do you expect? You can't expect your country here. Now you need to learn from these people, and they have to learn from you. How else will they know you, or how else will they understand you? But one thing about mental health is, mental health is something that you don't talk at home. No, it's a taboo. No, 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 no. Capital no. So you don't talk about mental health, because if you talk about mental health, you are crazy. You are crazy, and you can't talk about that kind of things. And the stigma is very big, huge. So going to a psychologist, psychiatrist, or anybody, even a social worker, just to talk about, no, she's airing the dirty laundry with foreigners or strange people, and everybody knows your business. So on. They never see that person as a professional that will help, that will make him feel less of maybe a bit easy. All of them, they see it as a gossip, and all of them, it's a no-go area. So mental health is something that is really charging. Before you say more, I like to talk with myself.
Yeah, it's good.
I like to gossip about myself, with myself. I like to talk, because in a way, I feel I'm kind of talking to God. I don't know. It's maybe not right. But for me, I'm praying if I'm going. I'm asking for safe passage. I'm asking for peace or whatever I'm asking. Even the load that I'm carrying is heavy, and I'm thanking God for that. That load is heavy, and I'm thanking him to bring me safe home and at my door. All that things, I'm doing it alone, and I like to walk alone, because then it gives me that moment to unload. Because sometimes you are offended by someone, Nico. You said something mean to me, and I couldn't actually say it back to you. And that means that thing is boiling in me. But when I go back, and I couldn't actually maybe face you, because if I face you, it can be a horrible consequence for me. So on my way, I'm venting, and I'm telling actually the invisible Nico, I'm telling him all I can tell him about. Yeah, you can't talk to me like that. It gives me that space to release my anger and my tension and my frustration and my unhappiness. So for me, it's fine. They can say I'm talking alone. That's his problem, not my problem.
Yeah, I like that. The other thing I want to go back is like, do you think religion groups should get involved to actually raise awareness on a mental health, or actually get involved working? Because for me, when I used to go to the church, my hope was like to go to heaven. I think that's the biggest thing.
I believe so. We do believe so. And, you know, in your mind, you are judging and you are saying, really? He will go, but I may not go, because you know what you are doing, and you have already judged yourself. You will not go to heaven. You will go to hell. But I was also good, and you don't know what he did.
Of course.
But one thing that we need to believe is mental health is an overall subject. I have done this HIC course that I have done with mental health, and it comes back to grassroots. It comes back to the small circle. It comes back to the small people, the community, the little people that is not seen in big chairs and big tables. Because if the people just stand up and decide this is enough, a lot of things will change, and a lot of things will work their way. But maybe we are too afraid, of maybe too scared, of maybe too not sure how much power we actually have as small people. Because look at the end. He's building that end hill. And if you kick that thing is very hard. But it's ants who made it. Ants, as small as they are, they made that ant hill, and it's big and it's huge. Now imagine if you can just work like ants, maybe.
Yeah, the other thing that we're going to look at is, like, do you think other people can actually make other people's mental health go, yeah, increase? I mean, yeah. And what type of those kind of people? Not like actual judgmental. I'm looking at, for example, I'll give you an example from example. Like, for me, discrimination, for example, racism. I don't want to lie about it. Racism, I think, has never been spoken much. That sometimes can actually make your mental health go and, like, really, really crazy. Because when someone discriminates you, someone tells you you're not human, you're not fitting in, and then you're already ill. I'm not ill. I mean, like, you're already struggling.
Yeah, you are kind of ill a little bit.
Yeah. So, do you agree that those are kind of maybe triggers in other people's?
It do. It degrades that person, devalues that person. Because for a moment, you look at yourself. You see yourself. And if you look at it, you are maybe even, it's just a skin. If you look at that, it's just a skin. When you look at it, if you have that judgment kind of mind, you can value yourself and say, I'm actually much better than him. He's just maybe having a different color than me. And he's maybe just born in a different country of different space than me and having benefits that I don't have and never had. But if he was in your shoes, I'm telling you, he'll sing another song. He will sing another song, because where we come from, Nico, it's not easy. It's not a joke. You can actually call it a jungle. The fittest one survives in a jungle. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are not fit enough, you will go places that you would have never go. Because you didn't understand the jungle. You don't. Maybe you want to go the straight and narrow, but because the jungle is as it is, you change and you become what they don't want you, what you don't want to be.
Okay, let's imagine that there was asylum seekers and refugees are listening to us right now, and they're hopeless. They have no idea what to do. Life is tough because we know the system is broken. What hopes would you give them, according to your own experience?
I think the hope that you can have here is, I mean, I really am very grateful for the 30 pounds of the 40 pounds. I am absolutely grateful. I'm beyond grateful, because I know where I come from, and I appreciate that, because it could have been worse. It could have been a detention. It could have been totally different. And I absolutely appreciate that 30 pounds. I appreciate the support that this, you know, Nico, I have a small war every day in my mind, because I believe these people. I was now at a charity which I'm very close with, and we were having lunch and we were sitting with these people, and I'm looking at them, the way they receive you. Some of them don't see color. All of them, they don't see color. They grab me. I am thinking, God knows, this person, is she sure that she is supposed to grab me like that? I'm actually black. And she is what she is. And, you know, that it's 50 years that it is upstairs. And it's, my mind is having a war with itself, because the support that some charities are giving, of most charities are giving, is so much. The appreciation that comes from hope that they are instilling, they are actually saying, you can have it, Manasseh, you can have it, you can do it. And the fact that they value you so much, and are you available, that question is so, it speaks volumes when when Rosie asked me, Manisha, are you available when? I mean, I'm just saying, she can just say, next week you must be available. I mean, the speaking, the language she used is so mind-blowing, so respectful, so much. And all that is giving me so much hope. Imagine as an asylum seeker, I have this.
Yep.
Now imagine if I get the right to remain, how more will it be? How much will it be? The appreciation that I have for organizations like Mental Health Foundation is absolute. They are building my hope step by step, step by step. It's continuous. It's like, it's a long dream that I maybe have, Nico. I maybe am dreaming, and I may wake up one day and realize that all this was a dream. And I don't believe it's really a dream supposed to be that long. But these people have the capacity that the way they are building your capacity, without they source your skills so easily out and realize Manisha is good at this and that. Who is good at this and that, and they really harness that skill that you have, that you can speak up, that you can open your heart and be free to speak. And it's so much that it's blessing. It's kind of making my heart go places.
You know, these kind of people, they're actually empowering you. They actually give you hope wherever you go. And they're also like sharing, you know, I mean, the love they have to support you. But I think the last question here in this episode is going to be like, do you think it's very important to use a podcast and talk about these issues, and as well talk about hope, because we've been talking about hope a lot and as well. But I'm just thinking about how far our voices can go. And how important is this for you when you look at the Mental Health Foundation podcast?
It's very important. It's very important because you need to sow a seed. Nico, the seed that we are sowing with this podcast is to make people believe and understand that there's always hope. There's always hope. Whether it's a little hope or a big hope, but there is always hope. And the thing is, if you just give yourself that space and say, there are people that are willing to reach out to me or to see me or make space for me, it's happening for you already. The fact that you just open your heart, make yourself available, and it will happen to you. Because if you are quiet, nobody will know. Nobody will know what you are going through. Only through your actions that we will know that you have something that you are going through. And maybe we can see, sometimes to reach out to a person, maybe sometimes, remember before I talk, I was always walking this over the bridge here to Alexandra Barre, that bridge from Townhead over there. So when I get too tired, I was always taking a break and looking at the cars going underneath. But it was COVID times. And one lady was also maybe going the time I'm doing. So I was going from here and she was coming from wherever she comes. And she saw me all the time standing there. And she was the first or 2 days of home. How many times she saw me, I don't know. And she said, are you all right? Are you okay? I see you a few times standing like that. Are you fine? And she started talking with me about, I don't need to worry. And I said, no, I'm just too tired. I am fine. I'm absolutely fine. And then I realized that with my way of standing, I'm creating a little bit of panic because this lady is scared. I am maybe not fine and I may do something not good. And she reached out to me and she's a stranger. And later we realized we cross all the time. Maybe she was working or she was coming home and I was doing my afternoon walks all the time. And we could say, hi, how are you? And so on. And then I realized, why can't I just move faster and get where I am instead of worrying her? How many days did she worry because of me standing there because I'm tired. And she was thinking, because it was COVID time and everyone was stressed and worried. And I realized that we need to be open and we need to be honest with each other. Because that day I could have said something maybe different, but I just need to put her at ease and tell her, no, sweetie, there's nothing that you need to be afraid of. I'm very fine. But there are others that is really hard to talk to because you will feel offended. But if someone walk up to you, it takes courage to walk up to someone and say, Nico, are you okay? It costs courage to say to a stranger a word like that. So even as a stranger, you need to be thankful if someone walk up to you and say, Nico, are you okay? Are you all right? And that question is so beautiful for me. It's so beautiful for me when someone say, are you okay? And in the past, I was not, what? Why did he ask like that? Because of the language, they are having a different way of approaching you or language. And I appreciate it so much these days when someone, if I'm lost with the map in my hand, the phone, and I'm looking like I'm, geez, like, where am I going? Then, sweetie, are you okay? I say, no, I'm not. I'm lost. And they will come and rescue you immediately. And that's one thing that I really have seen with these people. They are willing to help. You just need to reach out.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the stigma in our communities. I wonder what you think or what hopes you have for Mental Health Foundation to actually enable people to come forward and speak about how they feel. I think that's what I'm looking at now, like, because stigma can put people off not to come forward, actually to get the help they need. Is anything particular to think Mental Health Foundation can create that hope for the communities to come and get help? Or support, I mean to say.
I said once, it's not easy to speak up. It's really not comfortable. And sometimes you believe what you were and now you are some fire. You feel yourself so little and so low. You were at home, a community radio station manager, a registered nurse or something like that. Here you are an asylum seeker and you are nobody. So it's not about you, who you are. It's about your state of mind that is important. We need to keep that Nico. We need to keep him sane and okay. So Nico need to forget who he is for a minute and look at the need he has. And Mental Health Foundation, I would really appreciate if they can, but not that they don't do it. I believe they are doing it because they are reaching out with so many projects. And if someone is in the space of mental health, I believe Maddie or whoever is there as a staff member or Rosie or whoever is there, you can go to her or him and you say, can I talk to you? And I know as trained professionals, they will know. Because if I say, Rosie, can I talk to you? She knows something is not okay. Or she may question, why will Manisha, who is always talking too much, suddenly want to talk to me about something? That is the moment that someone is availing his time to you. That's the time. But when someone say, can we talk later? There is the time that you close a door to someone. Because the minute I say, can I talk to you now? That's urgent. But you put me after the what? Then you are pushing my problem. It's nothing. But okay, let's go to the corner. Let's sit down here. What's wrong? That is a very, very good approach. Your moment is the moment they have time for you then and there. It opens your heart because then you realize, I can talk to Rosie. I can talk to Nico. I can talk to you. That's easy. But sometimes, as they are doing trainings, as they are offering the flaws with it, let them just subtly just let in. If anyone is having a problem of a feeling that he needs to talk to someone, or feel free to stay behind, or feel free to talk to you, or take my number and call me or something. Just open a door and make it comfortable for me. Because not every time is a thing that I want to talk to you by face. Maybe I can call you and say, I'm not okay, and that's enough. And you can hear me from there. But let them just make a little element in their things that they are doing, so that they can open a small door for someone who is maybe a first time visitor, and he don't even know how to do things there, but it's a mental health foundation. So open a door, small, and let some.
Let's talk about us as a lived experience. When I mean lived experience, people who have been asylum seekers and refugees during the lockdown, what was the impact on you as well, on myself? I just want us to look at that. When you look at the mental health increased during the COVID, but I think for asylum seekers and refugees, it went really, really worse. But I just want to hear from you.
I've lived experience and what you went through. We were in a very, you know, being an asylum seeker in a normal time like this is fine, maybe. But we were also in a time like COVID. It was the you know, when the minister is coming up and giving the numbers, I was always wondering, God knows, will I not be one of the numbers one day? Maybe next week, I'm part of that. My mind was going crazy because it wasn't easy to sit in that hotel and hearing these numbers every week. And it was heartbreaking to hear the numbers. And also thankful the next minute that you are not part of that numbers. It was very sad knowing that so many people lost their life because of what. And it was so hard to understand. And for a country like UK, it was hard. But for at home, it was worse because you don't have what this country maybe have. But with our lived experience, the way we speak, we need to be kind. We need to become kind. It's not costing a penny to be kind, to be honest, faithful of outreaching to someone. If someone is there, reach out and be there for that person. And it's true that you say we can be through this podcast helping someone. It will be a very thoughtful thing if someone reach out. I heard your podcast, Nico, and I have this and lived experience. It will be another door that we open through this podcast. And it will be great. Imagine how many people we can reach through this podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Manasseh, to come to the podcast today. It was wonderful talking to you. And we shared lots of in common things, you know. I hope the listeners are also going to enjoy this episode. And please share it with your friends and follow us on Spotify. And you can find this episode on Mental Health Foundation networks and pages as well, website, I mean to say. And go to Sia Kluma We Talk podcast on Spotify. You can find the episode there. And please share it and follow us. And leave comments below. There's a space on Spotify where you can leave comments or even voice message, and that will help us to actually make our voices to be heard in many networks. Thank you.